I'm Brandi Cruz, coming up today on Undivided. Am I being too much of a fuddy-duddy about the World Cup? We'll discuss. Plus, a local Democrat apologizes for taking a picture with a conservative. And the media's pond scum obsession. That and much more coming up today on Undivided. Remember, you can support our show for just $5 a month by signing up at undividedpod.com. That's undividedpod.com. Click on the banner that says support the show. Hello, hello, and welcome to Undivided. Thank you for being here. Thank you so much for your commitment to giving common sense a comeback. I'm Brandi Cruz. I missed you guys. We're back from vacation. Nicole's still on vacation. Daryl's filling in for her. We'll talk to him a little bit later. We have a ton to catch up on. I tried to be as disconnected as I could while I was on vacation. I mean, I was in the middle of nowhere in New Zealand, so that made it a little bit easier because I really couldn't use my phone or anything. And then I made the mistake in the waning hours of my time away, and I engaged in Twitter beefs over the World Cup in Seattle. And I really just ruined the last 24 hours of my vacation in doing so. It's just a good reminder to put the phone down. But I thought I'd start the show today with a little bit of an explanation as to why I got into Twitter beefs, but also I think a very kumbaya interview. You know, really start a new week of Undivided after vacation on a very undivided front, so to speak. So the World Cup hosted USA versus Australia in Seattle. And look, I said at the very beginning when Seattle got the World Cup and Trump was talking about maybe taking it away, I said, look, you know, I want Seattle to succeed, obviously. Seattle's the economic engine of the state. When Seattle does well, the state does well. And so I'm never going to cheer on Seattle's demise, but I will always tell the truth about what's happening in Seattle. But I said, you know, the World Cup will be great for business. That's awesome. And then I was watching from afar at the scenes, and the scenes were awesome. Let me just state from the beginning. I mean, downtown was flooded. The new waterfront was like shoulder to shoulder, the scenes of patriotism in the stadium, outside the stadium. The whole thing was very, very cool. And so let me just start baseline at that. But I'm also a realist, and I know that that is a very sanitized version of the city of Seattle that the world was seeing. And I saw political pundits across the country celebrating, wow, Seattle really showed up, Seattle really came out. I don't want to negate that, right? But the news person in me is like, yeah, but. And I saw this post and I really related to it. Michael Damon on X wrote, it feels like the old days, things are booming on the waterfront. And that was sort of my general sentiment, which is, it felt like a version of Seattle that doesn't exist anymore. But it could exist. It felt like the version of Seattle when I moved here, gosh, more than 15 years ago, where we used to be able to go downtown and enjoy it and feel safe. And that was sort of it was like a longing. Like, I get everybody celebrating this sort of sanitized version of Seattle and what it looks like when you have hundreds of thousands of people all over the place. But that's not real Seattle. It could be if, you know, politicians would do the work that needs to be done. But I just couldn't, I can't bifurcate these things. I can't. I want to be able to, but I can't. I mean, you know, this is in that same area just a few weeks ago, an elderly man being shoved to the ground by two people for no good reason and beat up. All the random crimes that we had down there. I mean, geez, a month ago, I was out on the streets of downtown Seattle, Chinatown International District, covering how it was absolutely filled with drug addicts and with drug dealers. And that is the reality of what this city looks like when there's not a boatload of soccer fans in from all over the world. And maybe I live in this sad, freaking dark place where I have to cover these things all the time. But even when you have these tremendous displays like we had at the World Cup, in the back of my mind, I'm like, but what happens when it's done? Then you get all the people who are down there for positive reasons to watch the game, to cheer on their country, and that's a cool display. But when they leave, like, then we're left with what it was beforehand. And I don't think that that's very productive. And so there's kind of two elements of this that I want to discuss. One is the reality of, you know, the street disorder and stuff element of it. And then the other one is the sort of patriotism element. So put a pin in patriotism for a second. As I said, we all know on this show, Seattle is in a very difficult position. It had a glimpse of glory this weekend. A glimpse of what it could be if politicians, I don't know, enforce the laws. And if we actually cared about making it a place that people want to come and people want to be. But that's not what you saw all over TV. I'm sorry. I hate it. That's not what Seattle is right now. It's a glimpse of glory days gone by. And glory days that I hope will one day come again. But it's going to take an awful lot of hard work to be there. Now, my Twitter beefs over the weekend, I keep calling it Twitter, my ex beefs over the weekend centered more around the issue of patriotism. So, of course, you saw all the displays of patriotism all over the place. And it was so cool. And the singing of Country Road, Take Me Home. I love it. I wish I had been here for it. So cool. But again, I thought in the back of my mind, I'm like, yeah, but that's not really Seattle. It's not what Seattle soccer games usually look like. I mean, at Seattle soccer games, the Sounders faithful, they're not singing God Bless America and Country Roads. They're flying the Antifa flag. They're holding up signs that say F immigration enforcement and how they're anti-fascist. And of course, oh, Brandy, everybody's anti-fascist. No, you think Donald Trump and his supporters are a fascist. So you've got these widespread political displays, anti-American displays at Sounders games all the time. And now all of a sudden I'm supposed to just sort of forget about that and be like, wow, Sounders fans and Seattle soccer fans are so patriotic. Like, no, I just refuse to do that. I mean, there's some different realities here. And even the Seattle Times, as criticized as they were for this article, you probably saw it because like every person on earth criticized the Times for this. They wrote, some Seattle soccer fans have mixed feelings about patriotically backing the U.S. team during the FIFA Men's World Cup, given the actions of President Donald Trump. And the headline was, how Seattleites are grappling with USA soccer fandom in Trump's America. And yes, that's absurd. For the Seattle Times to go out and find all these people who hate Donald Trump and then make an article about how they can't celebrate soccer because they hate Donald Trump so much. But in and of itself, the existence of that article, I think, sort of proves the point that I'm making. That's what the real Seattle is like. That's what the real Seattle Times is like. That's the aura here, not I love America. And you can hate the president and still love America. But how many mass displays of patriotism have we seen in Seattle? Zero. I've seen like zero. How many massive displays of an anti-patriotic nature have there been? A lot. Violent displays. Again, violent displays against capitalism, violent displays against our relationship with Israel, violent displays against ICE, violent displays against conservative independent journalists, violent displays against the police. Hell, I was at that, you know, No Kings 20,000 strong march with images of the president, you know, depicted decapitated on a guillotine. I'm sorry, but Seattle's not a patriotic city. It's just not. And I know that there are different shades of patriotism. I think peaceful protest is perfectly patriotic. But I just have a really hard time squaring these things. I wish I had two separate parts of my, I guess I do have two separate parts of my brain. But for me, I can only think of it all as one. I can only think about it all holistically. So anyway, I made this quip on X over the weekend. Dave Softy, who's over at KJR, he's a sports radio host in town, really nice guy. He put out this clip, damn, what a scene at Lumen right now. And it was fans surrounding a sports broadcast chanting USA, USA, USA. And I said, had to import fans from elsewhere in the country to get a USA chant going in Seattle. Usually it's no justice, no peace. I thought that was not only pretty accurate, but also pretty funny. Some people did not think so. They compared me to basically the Seattle Times, saying that I'm just being negative, I'm making it political. One of those people was Joe Fan. So Joe Fan is a former Seattle sports writer who did a lot of analysis of Seattle sports. He's not here anymore, but he responded. We had a kind of back and forth. He said, I agree with you regularly, but genuinely discouraging that you're doing your best to strip away the pride Seattle should deservedly feel after an incredible day. Thank God tourists came to save what would have otherwise been a miserable day. He said, we hosted for a damn reason. And he and I went back and forth about, you know, me not thinking Seattle's a particularly patriotic city, thinking that what we saw, the display that we saw over the weekend, was probably a result of a lot of the USA fans that poured in from around the country and elsewhere in Washington State. And I could tell that it really struck a nerve with him. So anyway, I said, you know what? And I vaguely know Joe, and he seems like a reasonable guy. I said, let me, instead of continuing our ex-beef, let me invite him on the show so we can talk about it. So Joe was nice enough to join us. Joe, welcome to Undivided.
Hey, thanks so much for having me. I appreciate the invite.
I usually don't have people on to discuss internet beefs, but most people I beef with on the internet, I don't care about their opinion. But you're a generally nice guy. I think we agree on a lot of things. And so I thought, well, maybe I am the ass in this situation. So I'll give Joe a chance to convince me that that's the case. So what is it specifically about my post that sort of got you going?
Yeah, so I think that day was such a, like, for me, at the end of it, I don't live in Seattle anymore, but I'm from Bothell. I take a lot of pride in being from Seattle, as tough as that may be at times, right? When you talk to people from Seattle, they're like, oh man, it's like, I know, I get it. Weird times in the city of Seattle proper, but the Pacific Northwest is an incredible area, and I'm somewhere very proud to be from. And so hosting a World Cup game, let alone a US game, is an incredible honor. And the way the day unfolded, the weather's perfect, the crowd's insane, the game was a ton of fun. You've got this Argentinian head coach who's like all caught up in the Americana of what's happening in the World Cup and how he's emotional about what happened in the stadium and the support and all that. I'm just scrolling, I'm just loving everything. I'm like, I'm just, it was awesome. It was a really cool day for the Pacific Northwest. And there were just two things in particular, I think both are worth mentioning, that was like, oh, come on. Like, why are we putting a wet blanket on what was, again, an incredible day? One was the Seattle Times article that I didn't see before the game. I didn't see it until after. And I was like, what are we doing? Come on. And then yours, where you referenced, wow, this is really cool. Thank goodness there were imported fans here to chant USA. And it just kind of felt like a cheap shot to me.
Sure.
That, like, God forbid the greater Seattle metro area of 4 million plus people could have an incredible sporting atmosphere, you know. So that's kind of how I would tee up the conversation.
Yeah. And we chatted a little bit offline about it. I will say, I think there's, and I have a lot of, as you know, friends who are sports reporters. And I do think there is kind of one thing that is a little bit different and can be between people who cover news and politics and sports. Like, it's not my job to cheer on a city. It's not my job to cheer on a team or whatever it is. You know, I look at my job as being realistic. And we can discuss whether my post was actually realistic, but do you feel like sometimes at that background of being a sports reporter, you tend to want to put more of a sort of rosy celebratory spin on things?
No, I don't think I was that way as a sports reporter. And I don't think I had that reputation in Seattle as a reporter that I was like, oh my gosh, this dude's such a homer. I think this is very different where, yeah, there is pride coming into it, just like we're talking about patriotism, right? Yeah. I mean, civic pride is the local version of it. And so, yeah, we certainly differ there where you're not looking through it from a local's glasses of like, what a cool little thing for our town. This is a town you cover that, again, I don't know if you have any pride in it or not. And I'm not trying to, you know, but it to me, it felt sort of naive and like, if an agenda is the wrong word or too aggressive of a word, it just felt like, come on.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know if you actually believe that. Maybe you do. And if you do, then I'm happy to talk about it. Because I do think there's a lot to discuss.
Everything I say, I believe. And if I end up not believing it, you know, I apologize. I do take umbrage with the issue of not being a local per se, because I've lived here my entire adult life. I mean, this isn't the home I was born into, but I didn't have a choice in that. This is the home I've chosen. I mean, I moved here after college. I've never left. And so I don't think it's fair to not suggest that I don't have pride in the place that I live in because I was popped out of my mother's womb somewhere else.
So I was just posing to you.
Yeah, no, I do. But I think if you really love your city and have pride in it, being honest about its flaws is the first step towards fixing it. And I always say of elected leaders, you can't solve a problem you refuse to properly identify. I don't believe Seattle is a patriotic city. I don't believe Seattle has done anything to show it's a patriotic city. And so I look at it through that lens. And if you can think of examples, tell me. But I mean, this is a fan base. And I also think it's kind of offensive too. This is a World Cup match. It's the American team. And you wouldn't disagree that a lot of those fans aren't from Seattle.
Yeah, I think people travel for World Cup games, certainly.
Yeah.
But when you look at the scope of it, the sellout crowd, the waterfront that is absolutely packed, the bars that are full, I think it's unfair to just give all of the credit away from not just Seattle. Again, we're not talking about Seattle city council meetings here. We're talking about a Seattle metro area of 4 million plus people. To give all of that credit away as if, like, at Seahawks games, the national anthem is booed. And, like, how could we possibly fathom people being excited?
There is a lot of kneeling, but yes, I get it.
One of the biggest sporting events that Seattle's ever gotten to host, like, not being able to, like, be like, okay, I can see how there's people in this region. I don't know how we could possibly quantify what, how many, all of that, and also, like, quantifying or qualifying levels of patriotism. Like, what does that look like? Base level, not being able to give Seattle and its people any credit for what transpired. I think I would have loved even more, just like, this was awesome. It'd be really cool if Seattle could be like this more, or whatever angle you wanted to go after that. But it just, again, felt like a cheap shot without wanting to give the region any credit for what was a spectacular day.
If I didn't express it, it absolutely was a cool scene. And I love to see the waterfront full and busy. And I said at the very beginning when Seattle was awarded the World Cup that, you know, I wanted the city to succeed. Businesses need it. It's been a very tough time for them. But at the same time, what I don't like, and I think this is more the general issue, is sort of pretending that this is Seattle. And what I mean by that is, like, when the World Cup goes away, the waterfront won't look like that. And that's just realistic, right? And the homelessness and the drug abuse that's been swept away is going to come back in. And people aren't going to be paying as much attention to it then. I mean, I look at the Sounders faithful. At a regular soccer game, and this is regular, the Sounders faithful fly the Antifa flag. They hold signs that say, "F*** ICE." I mean, this is a group that has made statements about, you know, the president of the United States, which by all means you can do that. I don't know that in mass at a soccer game is the appropriate place for any sort of political display. But I have a hard time seeing that game after game. And then all of a sudden we're like, wow, Seattle fans are so patriotic. It's like, no, they're not.
I think there's a lot of nuance to how patriotic is, again, the whole Pacific Northwest. I do think when you're looking at specific factions, and I would say, like, diehard Seattle Sounders, ECF, I might be butchering the
Emerald City Faithful.
Yeah, ECF. Yeah, I got that right. All right, cool. Like, do they represent the broader Seattle sports fan? How much of that? So it is hard to, but, like, I think where I'm coming from, my analysis of the game and my excitement of it is not necessarily, again, Seattle proper. It's beyond that. So, like, my friends, family, the people I'm in close contact with, like, we're not following, and maybe it's, you know, it's ignorant of us not to, but, like, Seattle city council meetings and sort of the craziness that happens in the city, because I grew up in the suburbs. I still identify with Seattle, but I don't. So, right, there's definitely layers that you relate to and you see that I am not super privy to.
Yeah.
But I would say, I think there's an element of, like, I think we're allowed to expand the horizon a bit and say, just because there are things that happen that are nuts, right, doesn't mean that a region can't support its country in a soccer game, or that it's unfathomable to think that, like, people who hate Trump can't support the U.S. men's national team. The way that probably some Republicans are like, I don't believe in, you know, illegal immigration or immigration, but all of a sudden this star striker, Flo Balogun, has the most insane story to his U.S. citizenship, and he scored two goals in the first game. Like, there's a lot of layers to it. And I think it's really cool for everyone to maybe feel, I don't know, like, it's all nuts to me, I guess.
Yeah, and I think you're right in terms of, you know, maybe it would be good for me to express, like, this is a cool experience for the city. And I do mean that. I wanted the businesses to get that. And you know, when Trump was threatening to take it away, I thought, well, that's not really fair for, you know, the businesses that really need it and the people who aren't utterly insane. What I don't want and what I think will happen is people will celebrate Seattle as, well, look at this awesome display during the World Cup, and it's so pretty there. And it's like, well, yeah, they came in and they cleared out the homeless and the drug addicts and they swept everybody away. And then people will forget about the city when we go back to how things were. And that's going to frustrate me.
Yeah, and I think that's really fair. What I would pose to you is, because I think we can both agree that Seattle Times article was absurd about, like, people.
But doesn't that kind of prove my point, Joe? Which is, here we have this huge event and this display, and this, the newspaper of record is like, yeah, but we hate Donald Trump.
Yeah, it's crazy. But I also would say, like, I don't view what you are thinking and what they are saying as like completely ex like different things.
Sure.
It's all coming from the same thought of like, do people in the Pacific Northwest, can they come and support the U.S. men's national team? Which in my head, it's like, of course, it's
Yeah.
so silly and ridiculous to think otherwise. It's an incredible sports town. I don't know how we're trying to like grade A plus Patriots versus like C minus Patriots, but like from the binary, like, do you want to go cheer for your country in the
Yeah.
World Cup? Like, absolutely. Like, 90% of people I know, 99% of people I know, I can't imagine anyone that I am in regular contact with being like, nope, can't do it, can't do it,
Yeah.
you know,
Yeah.
because I really believe that 90% of us, whether it's in this country, in the city, around the world, are far more alike than not. And we're all trying to find the same things. We're all trying to find our personal happiness, make a living, have some fun along the way, and surround ourselves with people we know and love.
Yeah.
And I think when you have those interactions, like, you're just inherently going to have a good time with people. And we've seen that. That's what's so cool about hosting the World Cup is you've seen people from different countries enjoying cities, enjoying Americana, enjoying, you know, whatever they're experiencing in that town. And I love that because I think there's been a lot of nationalism that's come out of, you know, this country is awesome, and other people are experiencing that. And we need to be reminded of that because I feel like so often we're told that this country is terrible. And as Seattleites or people from around Seattle, all we're told is that the city is terrible and falling apart. And in many instances, it needs so much work. But like at its best, Seattle is A1 across the board, whether it's sports, vacationing, the sights, the sounds, all of it. It's incredible. And I take a lot of pride in that. So I think when I have this thought of starting from a place of we're all more alike than not, I'm able to look at that Times article and be like, stop it.
Yeah.
Like, you don't speak for all of us. This is not an accurate representation of, yeah, you found a couple people on the streets who are like, I hate Donald Trump. And therefore, I feel like this country or this national team is like, I don't think I can do that. Like,
Yeah.
that
Yeah.
doesn't represent a majority of people, in my opinion.
And I think you're right that it does show, it did display Seattle at its best and what it can be. And I want a little bit of that to rub off and people to get a sense of, wow, wouldn't it be nice if the waterfront was like this all the time? Wouldn't it be nice if, tourism was through the roof again and we could just really enjoy the city absent politics? Joe, I'm just tainted by this just horrible world I have to live in every day, okay? It's really depressing.
Listen, I get it. Again, and I texted you this in jest, and but I do mean it. I think you've been to too many Seattle City Council meetings for
Yeah.
your own good. And listen,
Yeah,
I don't think I could blame you. I think if
it's my
I lived
job.
in those trenches every day of seeing the extremes, I don't think I would be able to like push that aside as maybe well as much as I'm able to now. Because I look at like Twitter isn't real life,
Yeah,
and it's
uh-huh.
where extremes go to live of like, you know, again, I can't support the national team because Flo Balogun is not a real American. Two, I can't support the men's national team because I hate Donald Trump. Like, both remarkably absurd concepts in my mind, but I don't let it bog me down because I go outside and I look around in the world and people are just trying to make it and figure it out in
Yeah.
a hard life and enjoy some fun while they can. So
All
that's
right.
kind of just where I was coming from.
Well, Joe, I think you very eloquently made your case that maybe I am the asshole. And that's fine. That's fine. I'm used to it, really. No, we appreciate Joe Fan coming on. I'm perfectly happy to have a conversation about disagreements. And, I want the best for Seattle. I hope that that's clear. My approach for kind of wanting the best for Seattle is maybe a little bit different, and that is that I just don't think we can take the good and forget the bad or overlook the bad. And once the World Cup is done, we'll be back to the Seattle as it was. And we have some really difficult work to do to try to make it a place that can be like that all the time. And I want nothing more than that. I did, you might be wondering, Brandy, where was our subscriber poll? I couldn't put it out before the show because it had to do with that interview and those comments, and I wanted you to hear them first. So you still have time to take the poll. We'll discuss it later on. But I asked on Patreon Locals and X, are my comments about Seattle and the World Cup too harsh? Yay or nay? So be noodling on that one. Go take it if you're a subscriber, and we'll get to your answers later on in the show. Of course, I expect you all to agree with me 100% of the time, so don't let me down. All right, before we get to our next segment, our friend Wes Jones is the guy you want to call if you're thinking about selling your home. I actually was just chatting with Wes the other day, and he said, yeah, we have a lot of people leaving the state to go elsewhere, reaching out to him, but it's a difficult market right now. And so if you want to get a little bit more information on what Wes can do to make sure your home sells for top dollar. Go to sellwithwes.com. Sellwithwes.com. You can peruse some of the people who have sold with Wes and their listings and read some reviews of Wes, like this review from Jim. He says, we packed our bags, hit the road to a new state, but we jump at the chance to work with Wes again in a heartbeat. A giant shout out to his team. Together, they turned our long distance deal into a breezy walk in the park from beginning to end. And, you know, one of the challenging things about the market right now is that there are so many listings for people leaving, but not as many people coming in to buy those homes. And so Wes was telling me, you know, you can still get the same results. You can still sell your home for what you want to sell it for, but you might have to put a little more work in on the front end, and he can help you with that. Sellwithwes.com, sellwithwes.com. It really just is a better way to sell your home. All right, this story really angered me so much so that I was sitting at an airport yesterday after like 12 hours of travel and on my second connection. And I was like, I got to do a social media video about this right now because it was just absolutely driving me nuts. And it's so indicative of, I'll say it a million times, I know this show is called Undivided, but the left is the party of violence. You have some instances on the right sometimes, but the left is the side that openly cheers violence against people they disagree with. And I just do not see that on the right. And on the left, it is a widespread sentiment. You either have people who won't say anything, and that is supporting it when you don't say anything and speak out and you're in a position to do so, or they absolutely cheer it on. So there's this horrible story. It's from the Highline Journal. Burien veteran, 80, says he was surrounded and thrown to the ground at an ICE protest. So basically there was going to be, there was a call out from the local Indivisible group in Burien that, ICE, whatever, come protest like they normally do. Fine, as long as you want to keep it peaceful. I don't care if you go out there and, you know, scream your lungs out. But this 80-year-old man, military veteran, got wind of it. He decided to show up. And as you saw there, he just had a sign that said, heart ICE, heart ICE. And of course, the unhinged lunatics could not just let him be there peacefully. So it says, video reviewed by the Highline Journal shows a woman directing repeated verbal attacks toward the veteran through a loudspeaker, a man wearing a shirt reading anti-fascism, no kings in America, engaging him during the confrontation, and a woman striking the veteran from behind before he fell to the ground while shouting, you're down, you are down. The veteran said he found himself surrounded by approximately 10 to 12 people before being forced to the ground. So according to law enforcement, there was obviously police were called. There was a report of an assault filed. He's knocked to the ground, surrounded by people. He was punched a couple times. And the King County Sheriff's Office put out a pretty clear image of one of the main suspects. It says detectives need help finding this assault suspect. It says on June 10th at an anti-ICE demonstration in Burien, there was an altercation. The suspect punched the victim several times. And so they have a tip line there for more information, which 206-296-3311, because sane people, if they know someone who beat up an elderly man for holding a sign, would absolutely call a tip line regardless of politics and report on him, right? Well, I don't know if that's happened yet, but I do know how the internet responded. So I posted this. So it was really David Rose over at Fox 13 posted this, the picture of the suspect, said, hey, you know, call King County Sheriff's Office. And I reposted it. The responses were disgusting. And if you go peruse it for yourself, these aren't rare. I didn't go cherry pick a couple comments out of thousands. These were common sentiments. Amber, so the ICE lover found out, huh? Good. Hayden, since he's on the right side of history, I ain't saying nothing. Couple people, Lexi, Poe, not all heroes wear capes. Spencer says, nope, not calling anyone. I'd buy him a beer, though. Same with Marcus. How about you tell me where he is and I'll buy him a beer. Ken says, sounds like he was just taking out the trash. Michael, and then a hero came along. Again, may I remind you what they're cheering on? They're cheering on the assault of an 80-year-old military veteran for the crime of, in America, holding a sign with a heart that said, heart ICE. And they surround him, allegedly, but the Highline Journal reviewed video footage that says that that's what it showed. And the King County Sheriff's detectives say that the suspect, who I have to laugh that he's wearing an anti-fascism shirt, isn't it always true that the people who scream anti, that they're, say they're against fascism, act the most like fascists? And these are the people who they're holding these protests all the time. They've had dozens, if not hundreds, of anti-ICE protests all over Washington state. People don't go there and beat them up. And one 80-year-old man shows up with a sign that says, "Heart ICE," so you shove him to the ground and punch him and then run away like a little bitch? And these people want to say, good for him. Celebrating it. You're the party of violence. It's sick and disgusting. One thing I want to point out, because it's one thing if crazy, unhinged people on the internet want to celebrate it. It's another thing if this guy wants to celebrate it. One of those comments I read is from a guy named Poe Leopie, who said, "Not all heroes wear capes." And I saw that name and I thought, God, that sounds familiar to me. Well, the reason why it sounds familiar is Poe Leopie, he had a family member that was killed by the Seattle Police Department. So he was all over the news at the time. He was very involved in trying to reform use of force policies, etc. Fine. But he also now serves on the Deadly Incident Review and Recommendation Panel. He serves on a government panel that is supposed to offer independent oversight of police use of force. He's in that position until May of 2028. So we're supposed to believe that you can independently and reasonably take a look at how police use force and give recommendations, and you should be on a government panel when you're online cheering on the assault of an 80-year-old man who literally did nothing. And he's also with Black Lives Matter and the Washington Low Income Housing Alliance, LIHI, which is part of the grift of a homeless industrial complex that gets a lot of taxpayer funds to operate. So yeah, absolutely not. We'll be reaching out to King County to ask if it's appropriate to have a board member on a commission basically dealing with, you know, use of force or potential acts of violence, and he's online cheering on a criminal. Not the guy I want on the Deadly Incident Review and Recommendation Panel. Absolutely disgusting, though. Not surprising. You don't see it. I challenge you to show me a time. And maybe you'll come up with one, but I don't remember one. Where there was an attack on someone on the left and wholesale people on the right cheered it on. You'll get the random occasion ones. Like, I think there were some horrible things said after Melissa Horman was killed in Minnesota by a couple people here and there, and even a member of Congress. And you know what happened? People on the right were like, "You're disgusting. Why would you say that?" You just don't see it. You want to, we want to be able to protest all we want, and we want to be able to assault cops and assault journalists and assault ICE agents and vandalize buildings, and we don't want to get in trouble for it. We shouldn't get in trouble for it. And you want to be able to also attack elderly men and punch them and throw them to the ground. And like, we're the bad people. Got it. Absolutely outrageous. Disgusting. Disgusting. All right, coming up next, I got a double dose of unbelievable, all centering around my favorite political entity, No Hate in Washington State, which, as we've long since established, is the most hateful organization. And I think that these examples prove it. First, our friends at Valentine Roofing are trying to help you enjoy your summer, okay? By getting some of your to-do list done without you having to do it. And I'll tell you, I don't do the outdoor stuff. And I say this on the show because I don't like spideys. In fact, Daryl already killed a spider today. So he's already doing a great job filling in. But usually it's Mike that does it. But you know what? I want to spend more time with my husband. I don't want him out there pressure washing the whole exterior of the house and cleaning the gutters. I want to hang out. So that's why we have Valentine Roofing do it. And they can do it for you, too. They've been awarded the best in the Pacific Northwest for roofing multiple years in a row. There's a reason for it. And right now, whether you need a new roof, clean the exterior of your home, clean your gutters, new gutters, qualified homeowners can take advantage of $0 down and 0% financing with 6 months deferred interest when paid in full within the promotional period. So I think that's pretty cool. Financing, of course, subject to approved credit. But especially if you need a new roof, it can be a big purchase for a homeowner. But when it's time, it's time. So reach out to our friends at Valentine for a free estimate called 206 Roofing. 206 Roofing. Schedule your free estimate today. And with that, let's get to our segment. See how I tested you? I like to test Nicole, see if she's got happy trigger fingers. Let's get to our segment, Unbelievable. Again, you passed test number two. Kill the spider without telling me how big it was, which is the key. And then don't hit the unbelievable thing too quickly. All right, so while I was gone, No Hate in Washington State had their campaign kickoff. So No Hate in Washington State is the entity that was formed to oppose the two Let's Go Washington initiatives that are definitely going to be on the ballot in November, the initiative to protect girls' sports and the initiative to restore, once again, a parental bill of rights. And so as we discussed, a couple of the people who were at this campaign kickoff was Congresswoman Pramila Jayapal, and it was also Girmay Zahalai, who is the King County executive. And so, and they weren't the only elected leaders there, but it was held at Numos, I think is how you say it, up on Capitol Hill, which is like a gay bar. And this was their campaign kickoff to, I don't know, stop hate, which, as I've said, I didn't realize it was hateful to want parents to know what's happening with their kids at school or not want biological boys to absolutely crush girls in athletics. So anyway, Brian Haywood, who is the head of Let's Go Washington and the main driver of these initiative efforts, he's at the World Cup game, the U.S.-Australia World Cup, and he sees Girmay Zahalai, the King County executive. Now, rather than go up to him and yell at him and be like, why are you aligning yourself with No Hate in Washington State and try to cause a scene, what did Brian do? He's like, hey, do you want to take a picture and show that even, you know, the two of us can put our differences aside to celebrate the World Cup? And Girmay said, sure. So Brian posted this. Met Girmay Zahalai at the U.S. versus Australia World Cup match. When I told him my name, he said, well, we can put all of our political differences behind us to cheer for the USA, right? Brian said, of course we can. He said, later I was sitting watching the game and he came up and said hello again. I suggested that we probably represent the political opposite poles in the state, so perhaps we should get a photo together. He readily agreed. His wife, who was obviously lovely, joined us, and his perfect gentleman father photobombed us. I suspect we will be engaged in significant political battles in the future, but it was a reminder that even political foes can pause for patriotism, pleasantries, and a well-timed fatherly photobomb. Now that's so nice, right? Well, that is so nice. Because why not, right? Well, apparently the left was very unhappy with Girmay Zahalai. So he has apologized for taking a picture at the World Cup with Brian Haywood. So Hannah Krieg, who runs The Burner, this was sent to her. So it wasn't like Girmay didn't apologize to Hannah Krieg. He apologized to someone else who sent the apology to Hannah. So basically someone had posted this photo of Brian and Girmay at the game. And this person who was upset by the image said to Girmay, you talked a big game at the No Hate in Wa State rally last week. You know Brian Haywood is single-handedly causing so much pain to trans people and vulnerable students in this state. WTF. You don't have to punch the guy, but damn, don't be kind and take selfies. So Girmay responded, you're right. I was with my family at the game. He asked for a picture. Happened quickly while I was walking. I should have taken a beat to say no instead of doing the reflexive and socially familiar thing. Very sorry for the harm. We'll do better. These people are so sensitive. The harm? The harm. And also, his version of events doesn't align with Brian's. Brian says they saw each other once, and then Girmay came up to him the second time, and they sat and talked, and he took a picture. So not like, oh, really quick in passing, I didn't know who I was taking a picture with. It was the socially familiar thing to do. Very sorry for the harm. Now, I know that King County is a blue county. I understand. But there's still an awful lot of people in King County who don't want boys playing against girls, who are parents, who don't want, you know, to sacrifice their parental rights when they send their kids to school. And I think that we'll see that in the results of the November election. But this is a question of, do you support everyone in your county? Are you a servant, a public servant to everyone in your county, or just the people you agree with? And this leads me to believe that it's just the people he agrees with. Because Brian Haywood and what he's trying to do represents and has given a voice to a lot of people in King County and across the entire state. And the sentiment Brian put out was really nice. Like, hey, yeah, of course we disagree, but we can take a picture and put those differences aside for the sake of patriotism and the World Cup. And behind the scenes, Girmay's like, I'm sorry I caused harm. Like, no, what he should say is, look, I take pictures with a lot of people. You'll be fine. We're not doing this anymore. We're not doing this victim. Oh my gosh, you took a picture with someone. We just have to put an end to it. And just the victim mentality is off the freaking charts. And I'll say, I take pictures with all sorts of people. I mean, obviously Girmay knew who Brian was, right? That would be a little weird if he didn't. But like, I go to events all over the place. Can I take a picture? Sure. And they could be serial killers. I don't know. one of them could be a neo-Nazi who flies a swastika on the weekends. I don't know. And it's not up to me to dig into someone's background every time they come up to me and want to take a picture. And then, of course, oh, Brandy, here's Brandy in a picture with so-and-so. It's like, I don't care. I'm not going to stop and ask someone their whole history before I take a photograph. It's a freaking picture. These people are perpetual victims. And if we don't pass those initiatives, you know how insufferable they're going to be? Absolutely insufferable. Speaking of insufferable, let's get to our double dose of unbelievable. Boop. All right, so as I said, the No Hate in Washington State had their campaign kickoff at this bar on Capitol Hill. It's like a well-known gay bar, right? And look, it's a private establishment. They had tickets that they sold to it, but if they don't want you there, then you can't be there. That's just the bottom line. I know there's elected officials there, so you might disagree, but no, I think businesses ought to be able to say who can come and go from an event in their space. So I'm not taking issue with this. But our friend Jonathan Cho, love Jonathan, I just love him. He gets a ticket, signs up, and he goes there to try to get into the No Hate in Washington State event and cover it as an independent journalist, and it did not go well.
Are you blocking? Are you blocking the sidewalk?
Do something then. Do
what?
Something. Do
are you
something.
Sure?
Yeah, I will knock you the fuck out.
Jonathan Cho!
Doing that.
How does it feel being a person that they're probably going to kill anyway?
Hey, I'm good, man. As long as there's no violence, you got no problems today. You can do whatever you want. As long as you don't touch me, you're good. Fully prepared to defend myself. Don't touch me. Don't touch me. I got a ticket. I got a ticket, all right? What do you mean I'm not coming in? I got a ticket. All right. Got a ticket right here. Don't touch me. Don't touch me.
I mean, it's like a clown show. I hate to say that, but come on. That is not normalcy. That is bizarre. Like, I know what side of this issue I'm on. But yeah, I mean, I don't disagree with them. If they don't want him to come in, they don't want him to come in. But following him around, cursing at him, threatening him, I mean, it's absolutely insane. And there was a member of the Seattle LGBTQ Commission that Jonathan Cho spotted and asked for help. Here's that.
This is discrimination. Help me get in. You're with the LGBTQ Commission, sir. Yeah, well, I'm trying to go in.
Look at these people.
Aren't you guys about equality? I got a ticket. I got a ticket. I have a ticket. I have a ticket.
Hit me. Hit me. I'll give you the first shot, bitch.
Oh, my gosh. So I wanted to play that second video because there's something happening in the background that it's very important that you notice. So you probably saw in fleeting glimpses of these two women. So one of them you'll know, Andrea Suarez. I think we have these images. Yeah, Andrea Suarez. Do you have one right before that, the screenshot? Yeah, Andrea Suarez on the right. And you saw her kind of walking around. And just keep in mind, she's got these little flyers she's handing out, right? And then you see a woman on the left. Okay, keep that woman's face in mind, who seems to be sort of at the door, right? So Andrea Suarez says what she was doing is handing out these flyers, Memorial March for Aiden Bevins. And so it says, so I think we have a picture yet of these flyers. So it's a Memorial March they're holding this coming weekend, Saturday, June 27th, to remember kids who have been killed by the states because of the state's horrible policies as it pertains to protecting children from fentanyl. So it's literally a march in honor of a little baby. And to demand that the state do more to protect these precious children who are being exposed to deadly drugs in bad home environments. That's all Andrea's doing, okay? A lot of people there, and she said she got a ticket to the event. She showed up. She was going to go into the event, and she's a Democrat, after all. She's going to go into the event, and then she's handing out these flyers for this march that she's helping with outside. But she says when she handed one to the woman I showed you who was at the door, the woman tore it to shreds and threw it away, okay? So Andrea said on X, I was there to learn all sides. I had a ticket. Many people were in line were colleagues and supporters of We Heart Seattle. I was also handing out flyers to march with grieving moms of dead babies on June 27th who lost their kids to fentanyl. I am a twice and likely three-time elected precinct committee officer for the Dems of the 43rd Legislative District where this event was held. The woman in charge publicly shredded the flyer promoting to save babies from exposure to fentanyl and tossed it in the garbage for all to see. As I approached my turn to go in, multiple staff, security organizers, and the venue holder told me I was not welcome. They did not give me a reason why. So some eagle-eyed people spotted Andrea's post and the woman who she says took a flyer about a march for dead babies, shredded it and threw it in the trash. Some eagle-eyed people identified that person as Heather Wiener. Now, who is Heather Wiener? Heather Wiener is one of the principal people at Powerhouse Strategic. Powerhouse Strategic is the political messaging firm behind No Hate in Washington State. Powerhouse Strategic is also the political messaging firm behind the false attacks on me and my character and the PDC complaint made by Washingtonians for Ethical Government, which is just a shell organization to make it sound legitimate. The accusation that I have given Let's Go Washington through support on my podcast up to $1.25 million in in-kind political contributions that Let's Go Washington failed to properly report. Heather Wiener's the brainchild of that little publicity stunt. And that's all it is. It was a publicity stunt to try to hurt my reputation. And there she is outside Numos, shredding a flyer given to her about a march coming up this weekend to try to save babies from not ODing on fentanyl. And she's the mouthpiece for No Hate in Washington State, the mastermind of No Hate in Washington State. As I've said a million times before, these people are the most hateful people on the planet. The most hateful people on the planet. What does a normal person do if they're handed a flyer of something they aren't interested in or don't plan to go to? They say, no, thank you. Or they take it and, you know, they fold it up and put it in their pocket and recycle it when they get home. They don't stand right in front of her and shred it up and throw it in the trash and then deny Andrea Suarez entry. And I get it that Andrea Suarez is critical of Democrats, but as she said, she's been a local elected precinct committee officer for the 43rd District Democrats, which is in the area where this No Hate in Washington State event was held. She had a ticket. So they just don't want anyone who dissents to be in there. They don't want anyone who dissents from anything Democrats do to be in there. Oh, Andrea calls us out because we fail on homelessness. Well, she can't come into our event about protecting trans people. And then we'll have the trans mafia go out and run Jonathan Cho away too, because we don't want them recording what we're doing. And we'll tear up her little flyer about dead babies. Heather Wiener, have you no shame? Get a grip, woman. Get a grip. Take a vacation. That has been our double dose of unbelievable. All right, coming up next, we'll get to some national news. First, our friends at First Mark Insurance are the ones to call if you want to save a little bit of money as for your family. And look, I totally understand that money is tight, and in part, it is because of Donald Trump and the gas prices, which just are not going down, are they? Although I was in New Zealand, and gas is really expensive in New Zealand as well, so it made me feel a little bit better. But if you're just looking for ways to save money as a family, check out your insurance, because you have to have it. You might just have it sitting there and just sort of, you know, trusting that who's ever dealing with your insurance is going out proactively to get you the best price. And that's not always the case. Mike and I, when First Mark went to renew our policies, they go out, they shop again. They came back, they said, we could save you $2,000. We didn't have to do anything. We didn't lift a finger. So firstmarkinsurance.com, firstmarkinsurance.com. So many Undivided viewers and listeners have taken the First Mark challenge, and they are now saving hundreds of dollars a month, thousands of dollars a year. All right, before we get to comments and our daily subscriber show poll, we'll talk a little bit about, first of all, I don't have any elements for this, Daryl, because I am a failure and Nicole's not here. But the pond scum obsession thing is insane. So I don't know if you guys, well, obviously you've been following it. So President Donald Trump wanted to redo the reflecting pool in D.C. ahead of the 250th celebration. Fine. You know, he cleaned up some, like, the beautiful architecture that had been covered in, like, anti-Jewish graffiti for years under Biden, sprayed it down. It looked absolutely beautiful. People were commenting on it. All the fountains looked nice. And so he's like, let's keep going. So he had this idea that he wanted the reflecting pool to be like American flag blue. So they went in. I don't know how this stuff works. I imagine it's kind of like a pool, right? Whatever color you paint the bottom of a pool. What was that?
Popping on.
Hi. Hey. Oh, hello, Daryl.
How's it going?
Good to see you. So whatever color you paint the bottom of a pool,
yeah,
that's kind of the water takes on the color. And so I think the idea was, let's paint it flag blue, and then the reflecting pond or pool, it's a reflecting pool.
Branding colors are important.
Will look American flag blue. Great idea. So apparently after it happened, it's like been overtaken with algae.
Right.
Now, do I think that's worth a mention on the news? He spent like $40 million on it or something like that. Yeah, I think so. That's fine.
I don't think it's that much. I keep hearing like 15, 14
million. Okay, maybe it was 14. I don't know. Some number between 14 and $40 million. So took all the water out, painted it blue, blah, blah, blah. And now it's got a bunch of algae. Now, I think that's worth a headline. Like, hey, President Trump just did this thing, and now there's this algae takeover, and they're trying to fix it. And then over the weekend, some of the blue sealant started peeling off and sort of floating around. Now, I firmly believe that this is foul play. Maybe not the sealant, but the algae. I firmly believe some lunatics went in there and
It's always had an algae problem, though.
True.
It's always, since Obama, it's always had an algae
problem. But just like that, right after it was all cleaned out and stuff.
So I think
that vigor. Okay, go ahead.
Two things can be true.
Okay.
And yes. I think this is where the internet kind of, and mainstream media kind of loses their minds.
Okay.
So from what I've heard, and I've heard pool experts, right? I'm deep in YouTube on this, unfortunately. Pool experts are saying maybe they refilled the water too fast after they put the paint, American flag blue, on top.
Okay. So now we're at an imbalance.
We're at an imbalance. Chemical imbalance. We're at an imbalance. And then also, because it's so dark, it heats it up, because, you know, dark colors attract heat, which aggravates the algae.
Okay.
So that's where all the algae bloom comes from. And then on top of that, we all saw the federal workers pouring in the peroxide to combat the algae.
What do the pool experts say about that?
Pool experts are saying that that also might have interacted with the coating to cause it to peel.
Now, so, wouldn't the people he's paying know not to do it then?
I agree.
Okay.
I agree. Now, also, there are people who are going in and taking and peeling up some of these things.
Yes.
That vandalism is happening.
Well, because somebody cut like a portion of it, like with a knife, right? Yes.
I hope they sell it on eBay, get lots of money. Maybe get it graded like a Pokemon card.
Yes. What is the quality of this? The size matters, the quality of the edges.
You know, like, but so I think that this is totally overblown, you know, and it's just unfortunate that our tax dollars are going towards this. And it I don't think it was executed properly.
Okay.
I also don't think it's that big of a deal. We got bigger fish to fry right now.
Now, to be clear, though, when you say it's unfortunate our tax dollars are going to this, you mean like the reflecting pool at all, or like painting it blue?
You just don't
think that it needed to be painted blue.
I do not feel educated enough to take a stance on if we shouldn't have painted it or not.
Yeah.
But I think that it's unfortunate that the execution, from what I've seen and what I've ingested from these pool experts, I don't think it was executed properly.
Now, if they find like video or something that people were dumping like things in there under the cover of darkness.
Right.
They should be charged, right?
Absolutely. That's vandalism of government property.
Right. And it was a big bill.
Yeah, yeah.
What bothers me is the wall-to-wall experts on CNN. Yeah. And it wasn't just, you know, oh, we'll send our cub reporter down there to do something fun on the thing. Jonathan Carl of ABC News.
He was peeling up stuff.
Was down there and like on the front lines of the algae bloom.
Yeah.
And it's like, if only you had dedicated that much investigative time and energy to like the fraud in Minnesota.
I know.
So that's what bothered me more than anything else. No. It's like, give it a mention. Yeah, it's not great. But wall to wall sending your top reporters down there to investigate, lost my mind.
It's a bit overblown. And then there's a headline about some dead ducks there too.
Oh, no.
Yeah, see, but a dead baby duck. And then somebody commented, picture of RFK saying that's good eating.
Oh no.
Which is sad. It's a baby duck.
But it is. Just... Well, and I wonder if that's because of the algae or because of something that they're putting in the algae to combat it.
I don't know.
So anyway, it's like, can't we all just want it to look really nice in DC all the time, not just for the 250th. Same idea as like in the World Cup in Seattle. We want it all the time. Like what he did to some of those fountains is beautiful.
Yeah.
They're like shining bright white marble again. That stuff I do support. Of course, we want to maintain.
I want America to look beautiful.
We want it to look beautiful. So I'm not ruling out that people are down there sabotaging it. But also based on the pool experts, maybe they should have anticipated some return of some algae. But the news has lost its mind.
Yeah.
All right. Let's get to this one. So the UK, I did throw a graphic in for this.
Okay.
I'm failing at my duties because I'm also taking on Nicole's responsibilities. And it turns out she does an awful lot. So the BB... Britain banned kids under the age of 16 from social media recently. I don't know if you saw that. Like, you can't use social media at all if you're under the age of 16. And I think reasonable people can disagree on that. I think social media has been incredibly detrimental to our young people. I just don't like the government deciding at what age are you mature enough to use social media. To me, it's an issue for parents. It's like parents should be able to decide how much their kids can use devices, what they can see, and have whatever sort of supervision over their children that they want. I think it's way too much government overreach, really, to say under 16 you can't. But reasonable people can disagree. Now, compare that to this. This from the BBC News. Minimum age of 11 set for puberty blocker trial. So now, in England, you're not mature enough until the age of 16 to use social media. But at 11, you can be part of a government trial on puberty blockers. And this is the whole mindset. It's like, for instance, on criminal justice. The left wants to say, oh, these kids, they could kill someone. It could be a 17-year-old kill someone. They're not mature enough to know the consequences of their actions. Their brains aren't fully formed. You hear that argument all the time. Yet they want kids to be able to make a decision to cut off their genitals at the age of 15. So they're mature enough to change the course of their lives medically in a way that can never be undone. But, oh, they're not mature enough to know that killing someone is wrong. It's just absolutely as crazy as I think the United States is. The UK, I don't know. I think they're giving us a run for our money for sure. All right, we'll get to comments and our subscriber poll coming up next. First, if you are concerned about the markets right now, if you're concerned with what's happening in energy in the Middle East and the impact that could have on your retirement portfolio, you're not alone. Reach out to our friend Zach Abraham of Bulwark Capital, and he'll just give you basically a free second opinion, which I think is really valuable. We get second opinions for all sorts of things. Why not get a second opinion for your retirement portfolio? So he'll go over how energy affects inflation, transportation, manufacturing, global markets. I mean, it touches just about everything. So if oil supply disruptions continue, it's really important to know whether your current advisor and your portfolio are prepared. So go to knowyourriskpodcast.com, knowyourriskpodcast.com. Get a second opinion with Bulwark Capital's free Know Your Risk portfolio review. They'll also go over how they're just focused on risk management all the time, always looking for opportunities to lower risk, lower cost, give your retirement as much upside as possible. And by the way, subscribe to Zach's daily podcast on YouTube, and you can find out how to follow him across social media. Again, knowyourriskpodcast.com, knowyourriskpodcast.com. Okay, let's get to answers of our daily subscriber show poll. Again, I asked you guys after hearing our first segment, my conversation with Joe Fan, are my comments about Seattle and the World Cup too harsh? Daryl, you know the drill. You get the first opinion. You can leave that up if you want. For the peoples. Go ahead.
Too harsh.
Too harsh.
I would say no.
Okay.
It's
the right answer.
Okay. That's
the correct answer. Winning. Ooh, thank you.
Okay. All right.
You can come back tomorrow.
Yeah.
Well, you have to, or else we don't have a show.
We wouldn't have a show.
So. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
I would say no. I mean, Seattle has its problems. I do think it's good to, you know, appreciate the fact that all the events kicked off without any major catastrophes,
yeah,
you know,
like an attack or crime or anything like that. Yeah.
I mean, it's good to know that. I mean, the mayor decided to come to her senses, turn on the cameras. Yeah. I went to a watch party up by the waterfront in Everett. It was beautiful.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it was just, I think it was a really good event. I feel like criticism is just, it's good to hold elected people accountable.
That's literally the job.
That's it.
I would love to be able to, and I asked you like this months ago, you know, what feedback on the show. And you said you should have some positive news once a day. And I was like,
good.
Oh, yeah, I love a feel good. And I was like, oh, we're kind of starting the show with like a little bit of a feel good. Because I think it's a good feeling whenever you can talk to someone you disagree with on an issue. And I think it was nice to have a conversation with Joe about it. But as much as I would like my job to be sunshine and rainbows, I take the free press very seriously.
Yeah.
And its function is to hold powerful people accountable. It's not my job to celebrate politicians. It's not my job to celebrate a city or a state or a country for that matter. It is my job to call balls and strikes as I see them. And that's my opinion on certain things. But so I'd love for it to be flowery, but that's just not the job that I think our founding fathers intended for people like me to do. Let's see here. 92% of you say no, that you do not think, thanks guys, my comments on the World Cup were too harsh. Matt said no, but let us live in La La Land just for a little bit and pretend everything is okay. No, can't do that. No way said, I don't care about soccer and it being Seattle. You can't polish a turd, but I have enjoyed watching people from around the world come to America for the first time and be blown away by the food, Walmart, Costco, and ranch dressing. I love those videos. There's this one, I don't know where they're from, but they're at Costco and he's got one of those big rolls of ground beef, you know, that are like this long. And he's just like, why? Because it's bulk, you know? So I just love some of those things. I think it's really cute. Elise Russell says, I think your comments are valid. I did love to see the crowds and environment and enthusiasm, but it's sad that the city isn't doing anything year-round and genuine for Washington people and our community. Yeah, I agree. Son says, yes, as in it's too harsh. I knew Brandy was going to have a difficult time reporting on the success and excitement of the game in Seattle. You know? Call me depressing, but that's the job. All right, should we get to some comments from the live stream? Join us if you'd like, Daryl. Totally up to you. No pressure.
Okay. I'm coming.
Okay, I was like, no pressure, but you probably should. All right. Also on the World Cup, Joan Thames says, for a few days, it was a wonderful memory of what was. Yeah, and look, it wasn't perfect when I moved here either. And how long have you been in Washington?
2016.
Yeah.
About a decade.
I remember when you got out of the Navy. Daryl and I have been friends forever. And I remember when your little sea bags.
Oh, yeah.
Is that what you call them? Sea bags?
Yeah,
because Daryl served in the Navy with my best friend from college. And so my best friend from college moved in with me after he was done with the Navy. And then all his friends with their sea bags shipped to my house in Seattle. I'd be like, oh, who's out of the military today? Because there's like green bag, duffel bags at the door.
Yeah. That's the quarter deck of freedom right
there. Yeah. I mean, 2011, we used to go downtown and go out. And it's not like, you know, we were unaware of there was people doing drugs, but it was not even close to what it is
now.
Not
nearly.
Not at all. All right. Mariko says, I think Seattle is hideously unpatriotic and disrespectful to ICE, police, firefighters, etc. And I hate this aspect of where I live. Joe did bring up a good point about what does patriotism look like?
Right.
You know, you can be religious, but you don't have to wear like a cross necklace and carry the Bible around with you. And you don't have to drape yourself in the American flag.
But if you have faith in the country.
Yes.
I feel like that's patriotism.
Well, and it is patriotic to protest. You know, it's patriotic to petition your government for a redress of grievances. And I'm not arguing that. But I think when you take it to the level of they're my enemy, I want to hurt them. Harming them is okay. You know, and that's what we see a lot of in Seattle. It's ground zero for radical left-wing political violence. And they've even let it filter into the soccer games where they're flying, you know, what is well known as the Antifa symbol. And they want to hide behind, oh, it's anti-fascism. It's like, yeah, but you think everyone who disagrees with you are fascists. Right.
Fascist.
And that's not how it works. So Joe said, why don't you read this one, Daryl?
Okay.
Because it's something nice about me. So
you are the most humble person I've ever met, Brandy. That's not the comment, though.
Oh.
Joe C, V8T, says, I love Brandy. Someone has to tell the truth. Wow.
Thanks, Joe. Appreciate that. On the left, cheering on the assault of the 80-year-old ICE supporter, which pisses me off so much to no end. I was fuming at the airport. Matt says, there are two types of fascists. Fascists and anti-fascists.
That's true.
100% the anti-fascists are the most fascist-y. Let's see. King County executive apologizing for a pick with a conservative. David Prince. Jordan Peterson was blasted for the appearance of Pepe the Frog appearing in one of his many numerous public photos. Lunacy. I'm not familiar with this, but apparently the right does it too. I don't know. I mean, it's one thing, like, for instance, I criticized Thurston County Sheriff Derek Sanders for going to a No Hate in Washington State event and taking photos. If it were, like, just pictures with somebody who supports it, like if Derek Sanders has had a picture with Girmay Zahalai and Girmay supports it, I wouldn't have said anything about it. You went to a fundraiser, like a political fundraiser for a group trying to ruin my life and ruin the lives of girls and women. It just was weird to me. Let's see.
Got some super chats.
Yeah, there's some super chats.
Do we save that for the end, or we just...
We can do them now. I'm very worried. So Chuck, a regular viewer, always sponsors our Unbelievable segment.
Oh.
And, like, every day. Doesn't miss a day. And he hasn't been here, and he didn't tell anybody where he was going.
A wellness check on Chuck?
I don't know Chuck's real name.
Jeez.
So I'm very worried, but Nancy and Son, they did, they've been filling in and sponsoring his Unbelievables. But it's like, we're going on now, this would be 3 weeks.
Well, maybe we can...
You're the tech guy.
We could cross-reference Chuck, see if Chuck is a subscriber.
Yeah.
And then from Patreon, maybe we could get...
An email.
An email and just a little wellness check on Chuck.
Okay, that's a good idea, Darryl. That's a good idea. We'll look... If we have multiple Chucks, we'll send it to everyone.
If you are a subscriber and you comment or, you know, give super chats regularly... You might get a wellness check if you go
missing. You might get a wellness check because we love all of you.
Yeah.
But it is getting quite concerning.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I am concerned about it. Let's see. Brandy, if you ever take a selfie with Ferguson, we will be deeply hurt and betrayed. they said, are they serious? How insensitive and secure the left is. I would totally take a picture with Bob if I saw him out in public. I would tell him you're an absolute snake and you're ruining our state, but selfie. And then I would use it to laugh at him. But on the No Hate Mastermind, Heather Wiener ripping up a flyer about a march for dead babies. George says the number of communist revolutionaries running around Seattle unopposed is astonishing. On the pond scum obsession, Necro Two Shoes, Brandy can't believe voter fraud, but Green Pool is a... Listen, I just don't think voter fraud is widespread enough to have cost the president the 2020 election. I believe it exists. But I also, I don't know if the Green Pool is a conspiracy. I'm not sold.
I think it's a psyop.
How many, the Green Pool?
Yeah. Yeah, flood the zone.
Flood the zone with what?
LG. LG.
I think Chuck Heller is his name. Yeah, Miranda's got his name.
Chuck Heller.
Okay.
Thank you, Miranda.
Gotcha, Miranda. We will investigate where Chuck is. We will go to the ends of the earth. All right. I just read something else, but hey, Darryl, thank you. Nice to have you on for
no
comments.
Problem.
Great job today.
Oh, thank you.
A plus.
I'll see you guys for the rest of the week.
Yes, a couple days next week. Nicole is in Greece, I believe.
Okay.
So I hope she's having a restful vacation and not worrying about the show at all. So,
all
right. Okay. Thank you, Darryl. Before we get to our closing, if you are a small to mid-sized landlord in the state of Washington, consider becoming a member. I'm only laughing because I didn't do our closing, but that's okay. It'll be fine. I'm going to make something up. If you're a small to mid-sized landlord in the state of Washington, consider becoming a member of the Rental Housing Association of Washington. There's a number of reasons why being a member is a good idea. First of all, as a landlord, you need all the help you can get in the state of Washington with all these crazy policies coming out at the local, county, and state level. They got your back. They can help you keep up to date with what's going on, make sure you stay compliant, get you screening forms, all of those things. And they're also advocating on your behalf all year long, both with elected leaders and, if necessary, in court. There are some really important property rights cases that RHA is behind happening right now. So RHAWA.org, RHAWA.org. And with that, let's get to our closing. Sanity check. Well, Nicole usually does this, and I forgot to. So my closing sanity check is, I hope Seattle continues to have a fantastic, mostly issue-free World Cup, but I will be here at the back end, trying to get elected leaders to keep it that way. I know they won't, but we'll still push for them to do it, because that is, after all, our job. That has been our closing sanity check. That has been today's episode of Undivided. Thank you for being here. Really did miss you guys on vacation. Thank you so much for your commitment to giving common sense a comeback. We will be back at our regular live show tomorrow. And although Nicole is gone for another like 5 or 6 days, we'll have regular shows on through. Go ahead. Daryl's smiling at me. And this is where I usually say something witty. I got nothing, though. I had a great vacation, though. New Zealand is beautiful.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. And I went to the Kingdom of Rohan.
I saw the pics.
Lord of the Rings. Oh, so nice. I didn't quite get to, like, the area where it's photographed in the movies, but I was around the mountain. I was on the other side of the mountain, this area.
Never seen Lord of the Rings.
Daryl, you can't be serious.
Yeah, I've never seen it.
Oh, my gosh. Miranda's going to freak out over that.
Yeah.
She'll have to tell you what order to watch things and which to, yeah. Well, I mean,
I go in order.
You're right in the order, but there's other things, you know.
I played the video
Hobbit.
Games.
What do you do? Okay.
You know.
Shocking, really. That's shocking. Yeah. All right. UndividedPOD.com. See you tomorrow.